I want to preach to you this morning about the key to spiritual growth. The key to spiritual growth. Let's look here at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll stand together and read verse number 18. Just to begin with, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Every Christian ought to desire to grow. Every Christian ought to desire to mature, to get to know Christ better, and to bear spiritual fruit in their life. And I want to share with you this morning some keys to spiritual growth. Some keys to spiritual growth. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this privilege we have to be here in church this morning. Thank You that we can take Your precious Word and handle Your precious Word. And Lord, I take it not lightly, this privilege, and I ask You to give me wisdom and power as I try to speak Your Word and share Your Word with others. Work in our hearts today in a way that I really can't, but in a way that Your Spirit can. We need You. Help us and challenge us to be growing, maturing Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We should be desiring to grow and mature in Christ. First, this morning, we need to be aware of the priority of spiritual growth. Why is it a priority that we're growing spiritually? Spiritual growth is one of the most important subjects that a Christian really could study in the Bible. The Apostle Peter ended his letter with a challenge for the Christians to grow. He said, "But grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Spiritual growth is essential to a Christian. If we're not growing, we're more likely dying. We need to be growing and progressing and going forward in our spiritual life. Just like for a child. You know, if a child was not growing physically, we would know that, boy, something's wrong. Why is this baby not gaining any weight? Why is this baby not growing? And a parent would become very concerned if there was a child like that. Boy, we as Christians ought to be concerned if we would look at our own spiritual life and say, "I'm not growing, I'm not maturing, you know, I'm not doing what God wants me to do." Listen, God has commanded us to be maturing spiritually. We need to understand that it is a priority. Spiritual growth is a priority. Secondly, I want to share with you some observations about spiritual growth. It's important to understand what spiritual growth is. And I want to also share with you some things that maybe spiritual growth is not. Some things that spiritual growth are not. Here are some concepts that are really not the primary things that indicate whether we're growing or not. Number one, spiritual growth isn't necessarily related to time. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily related to time. You know, some people maybe have been Christians for a long time, but they've grown little spiritually. Spiritual growth is not just an indicator of, well, because we're old, because we're gray-headed, because we're this or that. That necessarily means we've grown a whole lot more. Glenn, you've got me beat, right? So you would be the winner for sure in this room. Sorry to point you out, but you know, we would all think, wow, if gray hair is just the only indicator, then he's got it won. He's got it won. But you know, it's more than just time, isn't it? It's more than just figuring out, well, this person's the oldest, and so they must be have grown the most. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. Sometimes people have been Christians for a long time, but they've not grown spiritually. Others maybe have been Christians for a short time, but they've grown much spiritually. It's your commitment to growth that really matters. Not the amount of time that has, you know, elapsed from your conversion or the time that you got saved. Spiritual maturity is not something that's measured by the calendar. It's not something that's measured by years. It's not something that's measured by months and weeks and so on. You're not more spiritual just because you've been saved for a longer time. I've been saved a long time, but that doesn't make me more spiritual than people in this room. You know, we have to grow spiritually on purpose, and there's some things we'll talk about in this lesson. So number one, spiritual growth isn't necessarily related to time. Number two, spiritual growth isn't necessarily related just to knowledge. It's not related just to knowledge. You know what, you can grow up in Sunday school, but that alone doesn't make you spiritual. The issue is not knowledge alone, but what you do with that knowledge. You can have great knowledge. You can have grown up in Sunday school and you can have learned many Bible verses. But what are we doing with that scripture? What are we doing with God's Word in our life? The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up in Corinthians 8 verse 1. So it's not going to be simply knowledge alone that dictates whether we're spiritual. Knowledge can make a person proud, actually, and that would hinder spiritual growth. It is only when our knowledge is conforming us to the image of Christ. Only when that knowledge that we get as we learn God's Word is conforming us and making us more like Jesus, then can we know that we're truly growing spiritually like God wants. Let me give you a third thought. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily related just to some religious activity. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily related just to religious activity. Some people may think that they've grown spiritually if they've sung in a choir or helped in a children's class or they've done some area of service in the church. Sometimes people may assume that, well, if we're busy, then I must be growing spiritually. You know, the Pharisees, they were very busy with religion. The Pharisees, the Jewish sect that was, they were very religious. They were very busy about their religious things. But they were not really growing spiritually. No one was further from the truth than they were. In Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23, Jesus said this about them. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus says this, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So being busy, we know, doesn't even result in salvation, and it certainly does not guarantee spiritual growth. Just being busy in religious activity, that doesn't guarantee spiritual growth. Here's a fourth thought. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily related to prosperity. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily related to prosperity. Some people believe that if they've prospered, then they have God's favor. Some people may believe, well, if I possess great wealth, it shows that's why I must have grown so much spiritually, that's why God has blessed me so much. Some people really get that idea, health and wealth type of thing, that because I have so much, then I must be such a wonderful Christian. Now, God may have blessed us with physical things or monetary things and so on, but that isn't necessarily an indication that a person is spiritually mature. So we need to kind of understand what some things that spiritual growth is, and maybe even some things that spiritual growth is not. Third, let's consider a definition for spiritual growth here. A definition of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not the result of some clever secret. Spiritual growth is not some secret formula, some special formula that this is it and so on. Spiritual growth, here's how we want to define it this morning. Spiritual growth is simply matching your practice with your position in Christ. Spiritual growth is making sure that how you live matches up with who you are in Christ Jesus. Our position in Christ Jesus. Is our practice, is our day-to-day living, is the way we conduct our lives, the way we live, the way we treat others, the things we live for, the things our hearts, affections are set on, is the way that we're living, does that match up with what our position is in Christ? You know, your position in Christ is perfect. The Bible says in Colossians 2:10, it teaches us that we're complete in Christ. In 2 Peter 1:3, it teaches us that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. In Ephesians 1:3, it teaches us that we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. But what we need to do to make progress so that our practice moves toward our position in Christ, that's what's vital. That's what's vital. And you know what? That can be a long journey. Making sure that our practice lines up with our position in Christ. Making sure that how we're really living lines up with who we are. Who we are in Christ Jesus and who we are as the children of God. That is what is so very, very important. And I hope you don't ever stop growing. I hope I don't ever stop growing. How you and I live, the fruit that we're bearing, should fit, should match, should agree with who we are as God's children. The fourth thing I want you to consider, this is where we want to focus on for the message, is these keys to spiritual growth. I want you to focus with me for a few minutes on these keys to spiritual growth. Here's the first one. Number one, do you know Christ as Savior? Do you know Christ as Savior? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, it said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, obviously we're not getting anywhere spiritually. We're not going to be growing if we're not first saved. Right? There can be no true spiritual growth if a person has never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There won't be spiritual growth if we've not first been born again. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We must first become the children of God. And after we become the children of God and we're newborn babes in Christ, then we're to grow spiritually. We won't be growing spiritually. We can maybe have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but we'll not be growing, truly growing spiritually if we're not saved. Obviously, first, and maybe it can be left unsaid, but it's so important, we first need to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never put your faith in Him, if you've never been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, that's what you need. You must be born again. You must first be saved in order so that you can then begin that growth as a child of God. It must start with that. So number one, do you know Christ as Savior? Number two, what are some keys to spiritual growth? Number two is this, a desire to glorify Christ. We really need a desire to glorify Christ. Do you have that desire? Is that the desire of your heart? You know, the most important concept in understanding and experiencing spiritual growth is even really found here in 2 Peter 3:18. Look at it again. And there's sometimes a part, we may kind of just read the phrase sometimes, and just kind of neglect part of the verse in our thinking. But he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. To Him be glory. Both now and forever. You know, the master key, the number one key to spiritual growth is the glory of God. A real desire to glorify God. Giving glory to God is vitally related to spiritual growth. It must be our desire. It must be that in our heart, we want to glorify Christ. We want with our life to glorify our God. We want to glorify our Lord. We want to glorify our Savior who died on the cross for us. We must have that desire. Why is it that we should grow in our knowledge of the Lord? For the glory of God. Not so that we can say, well, look at me, look at all that I've learned, look at how knowledgeable I am of the Scriptures. No, why should we get to know Him? Why should we get to know the Scriptures? Why? For the glory of God. That's why. Why should we grow and become more like Christ? For the glory of God. Why should we seek to bear spiritual fruit and not be an unfruitful Christian? Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. What are these keys to spiritual growth? The first one, obviously, do you know Christ as your Savior? Secondly, do you have a desire to glorify Christ? Because spiritual growth needs to be born out of, I want to glorify Christ. I want to please Christ. I want to be made more like Christ. Oh, I want my life to please and honor Him. Do you have that desire to glorify Christ? Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5, still in the New Testament. And here's our third thought this morning, our third key. The third key we want to talk about, a key to spiritual growth, is death to self. Death to self. Dying to self. Notice what the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5. And notice beginning in verse 22 to 25. It says there, but the fruit of the Spirit In the verses previous, it's talking about the works of the flesh. We know that those obviously won't glorify Christ. But now he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. They that are Christ, that position that we have, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know something, we'll not see great spiritual growth as long as we're living in the flesh. If we walk in the flesh and live in the flesh, will we glorify Christ? No. If we walk in the flesh and live in the flesh, will we truly be growing spiritually? Will we be bearing the fruit of the Spirit like we ought? No, we won't. We won't. We cannot both walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. We've got to die to self. There must be death before there is life and growth and fruit. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We must die so that Christ can live in us. Paul said, "I die daily. I die daily." What we need to do in order to help us to grow spiritually is to crucify our flesh. Put our flesh to death. Like a mortician, an undertaker. We need to mortify the flesh, the Bible says. And we need to put it to death, crucify the flesh. Die daily to self. Why? Because I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be a growing Christian. I want to be a spiritual Christian. I want to be growing and bearing the fruit that God wants in my life. We must crucify our flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to have control. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2. I want the Holy Spirit of God to have control so that I can be a spiritual Christian that is growing and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And then over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Galatians 6:14. It says, But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There needs to be a death to self. If we're going to be spiritually growing and bearing the fruit of the Spirit and living a life that glorifies God and becoming more like Christ, there's got to be a dying to self. There can't be true spiritual growth without dying to self. Romans 6 teaches us more about it in the life of yielding to the Spirit and so on and dying to self. And that is something that must occur if we're going to become spiritually growing and fruitful Christians. What are some important keys to spiritual growth? I said this, number one, do you truly know Christ as your Savior? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Number two, we must have a desire to glorify Christ. If there's not a desire to glorify Him, we won't grow like we ought to. I said number three, we must die to self. We must die to self. We won't grow spiritually if we're not crucifying our flesh. Let's look at a fourth thought. Number four is diligence. Diligence. If we want to grow spiritually, it requires diligence. Diligence. Turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And look at there at verses 2 to 8. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 2 through 8. What do we need? We need diligence. Diligence. If we really want to grow spiritually, it requires diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning there in verse number 2 down through verse 8, it says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We can be partakers. There are things we need to be partaking of. The divine nature can. We can partake of it. We can be growing spiritually and becoming more like Christ. That ye may be partakers of the divine nature, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Okay, you're saved now. Now add to your faith. Diligently add to your faith. You want to grow spiritually? You want to glorify Christ? Diligently add to your faith. You've got to work at it. Diligently add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I want to be fruitful, don't you? Wouldn't you like to be a partaker of that divine nature? Wouldn't you like it to be that you have more temperance and more patience and more godliness and greater faith and more be more virtuous and have more knowledge of God and more knowledge of God's Word? Wouldn't you like it to be that you've got more brotherly kindness for others and more love for others? Wouldn't you like to grow in these things? Boy, if there's going to be that spiritual growth, he says, diligently. Add diligently. And we're going to have to work at it. Work at it. You know what? Farmers work diligently to have a harvest or to have fruit in their orchard. And the same thing is true when it comes to believers being fruitful spiritually. You know what? If there's no growth, there will be no fruit. Pretty obvious statement, right? If there's no growth, there will be no fruit. Farmers work diligently. You know, they may work to keep out the weeds. They may work to keep the pest away that would keep their crop from bearing fruit or their trees from bearing fruit. Farmers work diligently to help their crop to grow. Farmers work diligently to try to produce fruit. And as Christians, we must be diligent concerning our spiritual growth. We must be diligent if we want to be fruit-bearing Christians, if we want spiritual fruit, if we want growth in our life, we've got to diligently work at it. Work at it. To have our hearts right, to bear the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to have. It's not going to just happen. We need to be diligent. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 commands us to grow in grace. Grow in grace. So we need to be diligent about that growing. We need to be diligent about becoming partakers of the divine nature. We need to be diligent about becoming more like Christ. We need to be diligent about our fruit bearing. Diligent about becoming what God wants us to be in Christ. It requires diligence. Diligence. What are some important keys to spiritual growth? Number one, do you know Christ as your Savior? Number two, do you have a desire to glorify Christ? If there's not that desire, we won't grow like we ought. Number three, we must die to self. Because we won't grow spiritually like we ought. We won't bear the fruit that we ought if we're not dying to self, crucifying our flesh, and learning to walk in the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. Fourth, it requires diligence. Oh, I want that kind of fruit talked about. I want that kind of divine nature. I want more of that every day. I want to become more and more like Christ. And we need diligence. We need diligence. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me share with you a fifth, number five, another key to spiritual growth. Another key to spiritual growth is daily spending time in God's Word. Another key to spiritual growth is daily spending time in God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Like a newborn infant, like a newborn baby, desire the milk, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. Spending time in the Word will help you to grow spiritually. Spending time in the Bible will help you to grow. We won't grow if we neglect the Bible. Should we come to church? Yes, that's important. But more than that, you in addition to that, you need to spend time in God's Word daily. Spend time in the Bible. Read God's Word to help you to grow. Read and study the Bible because it's food to help you to grow. The Bible compares it in that verse to being like milk. It's like milk that all a baby needs. A baby needs milk in order to grow. I think I've told you before, when we were in Mexico last winter and at the children's home that the Bryans have started, there was one of those girls that they have in the home now, that when she was just a baby, the mom, for whatever reason, the mom wasn't nursing, and the mom, it was a real bad situation, and the mom couldn't afford milk. The mom couldn't afford to buy the milk there in Mexico to feed her baby, or what she would need for that, and so on. And so instead, she was feeding the baby Coca-Cola. She was feeding the baby Coca-Cola because it was cheaper for them to buy Coca-Cola than it was to buy milk. And here ended up this being this really malnourished little baby, and they ended up being able to take this child in and help it, thankfully, to grow. And now it's a happy young lady, and a lady who loves Christ and is living for Christ. But let me tell you something, her situation was bad. Why? Because she wasn't getting the nourishment that she needed. She needed milk in order to grow and grow strong and so on, and she wasn't growing. Listen, for you as a Christian to grow, for me as a Christian to grow, we need to spend time in the Bible. Spend time daily in the Word of God and read it and meditate on it and think on it and let it be saturating our hearts and minds. We need that nourishment. God's Word is like milk. God's Word is like meat. It'll help us to grow and to spiritually mature. God's Word is even compared to honey in the Psalms. If you need something a little sweet, God does that. A real natural God-made sweetener. Listen, God's Word is awesome. It can give you what you need to nourish you and strengthen you and help you to grow spiritually. If we neglect it, we won't be growing. And if we're not growing, then we're not going to be glorifying Christ, are we? It kind of all goes back to that. I want to glorify Christ. So I want to grow. So you know what I need to make important in my life? I need to spend time in the Bible. And you're going to need to spend time in the Bible. You're going to need to read the Bible. Study the Scriptures. In Acts 17 and verse 11, it tells us of the Christians in the church of Berea. And it says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily." When they heard preaching and so on, they received it with a readiness of mind. But you know what else they did? They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things be so. They searched the Scriptures. They read the Bible. They studied God's Word. We need to read the Bible and study the Scriptures and memorize God's Word. We need to meditate on the Scriptures. Turn with me back, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. The book of Psalms. And we'll look at chapter number 1. About the middle of your Bible, probably you'll find the book of Psalms. Meditate on the Scriptures. Think about what you read. Think about what you study. Think about what you hear in church and apply it to your heart and life. In Psalm chapter number 1, notice the first 3 verses of that chapter with me. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, spiritually growing Christians will spend time daily in the Word of God. And we see that in the book of Psalms. Boy, delighting in the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God. What will be produced? A Christian that is growing spiritually. A Christian that is bearing fruit. And that's what I want to be. That's what I believe you want to be. Just as people could starve themselves to death physically by never eating or never drinking, we'll starve ourselves spiritually if we don't spend time in the Bible. It's so important. Listen, if we're going to grow spiritually, one important key is that we daily spend time in the Bible. Daily spend time in God's Word. Don't neglect it. Don't let it be that, oh, we get up and we rush off here and rush there and we neglect the Bible. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. What are some keys? What are some very important keys to spiritual growth. Number one was this: do you truly know Christ as Savior? It's got to start with that. We first have to know Him as Savior. And then we can grow as a Christian, like a newborn baby, begin to grow to a child and to be a teenager spiritually, or to be an adult spiritually, or to become a father spiritually. We need to be growing and maturing. But it starts with being known as your Savior. Secondly, we must have a desire to glorify Christ. We must have a desire to glorify Christ. We must have a desire. I want to be like Him. I want to please Him. I want to bear fruit. Do you have a desire to glorify Christ? Number three, we must die to self. Because we won't grow spiritually if we're not crucifying our flesh. We won't grow spiritually if we're walking in the flesh. We won't bear the fruit of the Spirit. We won't grow if we're just living in the flesh. We have to learn how to die daily to self. Read the book of Romans, read the book of Galatians, study these things and just over and over and over learn how to pray and learn how to daily commit yourself to the Lord and die to self and to walk in the Spirit. Number four, we need diligence. Spiritual growth doesn't happen on accident. A farmer just doesn't go out to his farm at, you know, August and September and, oh, look at all this wonderful sweet corn we got. No, the sweet corn that we got is because some farmers plowed their ground. Some farmers cultivated their ground. Some farmers took the stones out of their field. Some farmers planted the seeds and planted those rows of corn. Some farmers maybe put some fertilizer to keep away the bugs that would destroy the crop. Some farmers did some things and they worked at it because, hey, we wanted sweet corn in the fall time. You know, it takes diligence for there to be spiritual growth. It takes diligence for there to be spiritual growth. Number five, we said this: daily spend time in God's Word. Daily spend time in God's Word. And then number six is this: be dedicated to faithful church attendance. Dedicated to faithful church attendance. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look there at verses 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says there in verse 11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Being dedicated to faithful church attendance, it'll help in that spiritual growth. The Bible says in verse 11 how He gives, you know, apostles, He gave prophets, He gave pastors and teachers and evangelists and so on. In the church, it was intended to be what would help us to grow, to spiritually grow. And so if we're dedicated to faithful church attendance, we can be there to hear what God wants us to hear so that we can be perfected, so that we can mature. He talks there about growing under the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. No longer being children. Why? We want to grow in spiritual maturity, right? To become spiritual adults, spiritual fathers and mothers, if you will. No longer children, but growing up in Christ, growing up to become what He wants us to become. God intends for the church to be a place where believers are fed and nourished so that we can grow and mature as believers. So that we'll not remain as baby Christians or as little children spiritually, but so that we'll grow up to spiritual maturity, becoming more like Christ. God wants to use pastors and teachers to help teach us the Word of God and to help us really to grow up, to grow up. God does not want us to remain as spiritual infants or children. He wants us to grow and develop to spiritual maturity. And for this reason, it's important that we be dedicated.
We talked this morning about what spiritual growth is not. You know, it's not an indicator of spiritual growth just because we've maybe been a Christian a long time. It's not an indicator of spiritual growth just because we maybe, oh wow, we're so blessed. We've got so much. That doesn't necessarily mean we've grown spiritually like we ought to. Oh, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy for Christ. That doesn't necessarily mean we've grown spiritually. Spiritual growth is making sure that our practice lines up with our position in Christ. Spiritual growth is making sure that how we're living lines up with who we are in Christ Jesus. Spiritual growth is making sure that our fruit and our works and our actions and so on line up with really who we should be as the children of God. Oh, we need to work on that. That's what we ought to desire. True spiritual growth. What are some important keys to spiritual growth? Do you know Christ as Savior? Do you really have a desire to glorify Christ? Without a desire to glorify Christ, you know what? We probably won't. We probably won't. Number three, we must die to self. Crucify our flesh. Number four, be diligent. It requires diligence to grow spiritually. Number five, daily spend time in God's Word. And number six, be dedicated to faithful church attendance. Be dedicated to faithful church attendance.